Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com with the music that never stops. All right. Now, Dr. Rima Labo is my very special guest today, the fabulous exposer of Codex Alimentarius. Dr. Rima, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you. Thought I was going to miss it because of a traffic jam in Santiago, Chile, but here I am.
Whew. I was about to get hot. I was getting a little hot under the collar there. I was like, no, where is she?
So was I. But I'm here.
You know, this is why teleportation would be really choice, you know, no more traffic jams. But anyway, moving on, would you explain to those who don't know your background, what it actually is?
Absolutely. Well, I am a physician. I have been practicing drug-free medicine and psychiatry for about 43 years now, and I graduated from the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York in 1970. While I was in medical school, and I was an English major, a literature major in medical school. So I came to everything they were teaching with a fresh ear and a fresh eye. And they said in my very first pharmacology class in my freshman year, all drugs work by exactly the same mechanism. They all poison enzyme systems. And so what we do is we give poisons and hope that the benefit, that the results are things that we like. And I said, I stuck my hand up in the air and I said, excuse me, aren't enzymes the very essence of life? Every cell in the body has about 35,000 enzyme reactions going on at exactly the same moment. So if we poison enzymes, how do we actually help anybody? And they said, in essence, sit down and shut up. And I said, this doesn't make any sense. I will not do anything that I think will harm someone if I have another way that won't harm them. And so I determined from that very first beginning in medical school that regardless of what they chose to tell me, I was going to find ways that actually helped people to heal rather than just suppressing symptoms by poisoning them. And that informed and directed everything that I do as a physician. So in my 43 years of serving people, I have never written a prescription for a drug. Now, there is one exception to that. I once wrote a prescription to wean a lady off the anti-anxiety addictive drug called Xanax. I think it was for 3 pills. So I'm not totally pure, but that's it in terms of all pharmaceuticals. Doesn't mean I don't treat people. I certainly do. I treat them with things that actually help them heal. And that's frequency and nutrition, intravenous and oral nutrition, supplements, herbs, homeopathy, detoxification. And really, although people like to call that alternative medicine, it's not alternative. It's good medicine. There is an alternative. It's called allopathic medicine, and that's the poor alternative. So, having...
In other words, what you're doing is giving people medicine. The other people are just giving them poison.
Exactly, exactly. Now, along the way, I noticed that there was a health freedom battle. It's hard to miss. And I also noticed that our side was losing every battle. And I thought about that for a while, and I said, why is that? Why are we're intelligent people, we're well-intentioned, we're bright, we're clever. Why is it that we're losing every single battle, other than the fact, of course, that the other side has the propaganda machine and has their friends print money for them? But beside that, why are we losing every battle? And I figured out the reason. The reason was because our side was only acting tactically. After something happened, we would run about waving our hands in the air and saying, oh, 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 how terrible, how terrible. But we hadn't taken strategic action, which then was translated into tactics before we lost the battle. I said, that has to change.
Best defense is a good offense, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you have to know what the problem is to devise the offense, strategically speaking. So I talked it over with my husband, who is a retired U.S. Army general. He retired as the head of the Army's intelligence and strategic command. He's an extremely good strategist. And I said, you know, somebody has to take this on who's good at thinking strategically and acting tactically, and that would be you and me, I said to him. I said, we have to close our practice of medicine, our independent drug-free practice of medicine about an hour north of New York City, to which superstars and heads of state and ordinary folks alike came, and they all got the same treatment, and they all paid the same prices, by the way. And I said, we have to take this on. And we did. And so in late 2004, we closed our practice and we created the Natural Solutions Foundation. And our website is www.drrimatruthreports or www.savemylifedrrima.com. That's DRRIMA, savemylifedrrima.com. And we decided that the first thing we would do was take on Codex Alimentarius, because there is, in fact, as your listeners probably know very well, a genocidal globalist agenda. And we decided to make that very obvious by publishing the writings of the other side. We don't have to interpolate anything. They say it. We want to reduce the population of the planet by 90% for, quote, sustainability, which means genocide. There is good sustainability, and then there's World Health Organization, United Nations, U.S. Government, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission sustainability, which is genocide.
They've hijacked the term.
Yes, That's Agenda 21. What they do, by the way, what the other side does is they take good words like sustainability. It's a good word. And they give it a special meaning, a secret meaning. And then when you sign on for a program because it will enhance sustainability, you think you mean something good. They have co-opted the meaning, and now you find yourself having voted or approved or acted on behalf of something that takes away your right to own property, your right to choose where you live, your right to choose where you travel, and so on. That's called Agenda 21. But they did it by wrapping evil concepts in delightful words. It's called jargon.
It sounds to me very similar to satanic agendas and how they simply take whatever's good and then invert it, right? So you turn something good like sustainability into something evil like genocide and total domination of the entire human race.
I think you got that just about right. By the way, we have another web page that I think people might find interesting. It's www.truthaboutagenda21.com. Truthaboutagenda21.com, because the frame for all these genocidal bits and pieces, of which food is one, of which nuclear power is one, and Fukushima shows that pretty evidently, of which chemtrails are one, of which food that does not support life through GMOs is one, and drugs and vaccine are the fifth, if you will, horsemen of the intentional apocalypse. The framework into all that fit, into which all that fits, is actually Agenda 21, an intentional program designed to literally underfeed children, undereducate children, and condense 100% of the world population, and I kid you not, this is in the documents, 100% of the world population into 1% of the land mass in order to give animals the right to roam freely over the other 99%, which will be totally unvisited by human beings for any purpose. But if the elite are living and exploiting and having their ski lodges or whatever on that 1%, how would we know? Because we will be compressed into stack'em pack'em villages called transit villages. We will not be permitted to travel further than we can bicycle or walk unless we have a permit. And we will be totally controlled slaves. We always say at the Natural Solutions Foundation, we say the agenda of, or the intention of Agenda 21 is to think globally and slave locally.
The whole concept of it, and I've read some of the document, and it just occurs to me that there's not a single element of current human life that will not be affected by this Agenda 21.
That is correct.
Anything,
everything. If you go to www.truthaboutagenda21.com, you can download the Agenda 21 documents, which are getting harder and harder to find on the internet, and you can read the 40 chapters, which contain the 4,000 regulations, which will, as you exactly correctly say, completely control every single aspect of human life and death, because, you know, you have to work pretty hard to get rid of 90% of the world's population. And that's why we have genetically engineered plagues like the H1N1 and the H5N1, and now the new Chinese horror show, the H7N9 plague. These are genetically engineered, and the evidence is very, very clear. And then suddenly, miraculously, vaccines show up, quote, supposedly against these genetically engineered plagues.
I love how they're capable of producing a vaccine within like a week of hearing about some terrible viral outbreak. You know, they just must have been conveniently working on one of these puppies for a long time, you know.
Isn't that an amazing coincidence? They can now produce a vaccine in days for something that they never heard of before. Gosh, my credulity isn't strained. How about yours?
Yeah, it seems quite insane that people keep believing it. And now, under these protocols, I say just in New Zealand, you won't be able to send your child to school unless they've been vaccinated.
Exactly. Dr. Paul Offit, a man who makes a lot of money from the vaccines that he sits on the FDA panels that approve, no conflict of interest there. Dr. Offit says, first of all, that the immune system of a child is sufficient to allow 10,000 vaccines to be put into the child's body with no deleterious or harmful effects. And Dr. Offit also says that anyone who suggests that a vaccine exemption might be permitted under any circumstance is a criminal against humanity. Whoa! Thought crimes. Yet, I wrote an article that your listeners might find interesting. It's called "The Syringe of Death, Coming Soon to a Police Station Near You." Now, the first part of the article is about a piece of legislation that we were trying to prevent being passed. We didn't succeed on that one. But the second part of the article is a look at the history of vaccine science, which is the most significant fraud ever perpetrated on humanity. And back 150 years ago, the British government figured out that it was a massive fraud, which they had made mandatory. Every child in under the British flag had to be vaccinated against smallpox, or the parents could actually go to jail. And then they realized that they were inducing an epidemic of syphilis in otherwise perfectly healthy babies. Because you remember the story, I'm sure, about dipping a needle into the open lesion of the cowpox on the milkmaid's hand and then sticking the needle into the healthy person, allegedly to prevent them from getting smallpox. That's how vaccinations started. That's what Dr. Edward Jenner, who, by the way, bought his doctorate for £25 from the University of Edinburgh. I wish I had known that you could get it for £25, because it took me a lot of years and a lot of agony to get my MD, but he got his for £25 sterling. Anyway, Dr. Jenner, who was a complete fraud, published the results of these experiments before he did them. And he left out the... He got a commercial break.
You know, it just keeps getting better. And I was just thinking about what you were talking about before when you were first getting educated as a doctor, how all the drugs simply attack enzymes. It's like the enzyme prophecy or something like that. We'll be right back after the break at VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Dr. Rima Labo.
I got some so-called friends.
Welcome back.
All when my back is turned.
When my back is turned, they jab me with a vaccine. All right, now, Dr. Rima Labo is my very special guest. She's got a number of websites. Dr. Rima, truthreports.com, savemylifedrrima.com, truthaboutagenda21.com, so on and so forth. Now, I just wanted to mention this, because yesterday Dr. Paul Connett, ladies and gentlemen, was on mainstream media, so I managed to record his appearance, pop it up. It's on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's about 7.5 minutes, and it's like listening to a child try to argue with him, this local host, Duncan Garney, who's retarded. Anyway, also, fluoride's been removed from the Hamilton water supply. It's the largest city closest to Auckland. And I went to the mainstream media website to see what kind of articles they have about all of this. And here's the list of headlines that I found. Experts disappointed by Hamilton fluoride removal. Health experts slam Hamilton's fluoride decision. Fluoride in drinking water helps protect teeth. Experts. Hamilton fluoride decision slammed by doctors. Expert disappointed by fluoride decision. And I posted that on my Facebook under the title, "Nah, the mainstream media aren't biased in favour of fluoride, bro."
And they know so much about it.
They know nothing. And I don't know about you, but have you ever engaged in arguments with people who are pro-fluoride and you quickly realize, like, within seconds, they don't know nothing about anything ever. And they've got PhDs is what's worse. Oh, God. And then, like I saw this guy's Facebook profile. He's standing next to a big flag from the university that says science. He just don't know nothing about it. Oh, you're going to be kidding me.
Well, you know, it's really refreshing to know and to understand so clearly that rational thought has so little to do with place, position, and profit.
It's just about repetition, basically. I can repeat stuff that I've been told. I didn't research into whatever I was told and try to corroborate it in any way, shape, or form like a logical person would. You know, who started it, what happened, who, what, where, when, why, how. You know, those kind of simple journalistic questions that would allow you to ascertain the truth about virtually any scenario. But they don't do anything like that. It's simply swallowed like toothpaste. And I wanted to mention this fluoride thing because it's topical. Much like the correct application of fluoride.
There is no correct application of fluoride.
Yeah. Just like Paul Connett says, you know, if you think swallowing fluoride is good for your teeth, why don't you swallow your sunscreen? You know, be just as good for you. Come on, a little bit of that particulated aluminium never hurt nobody. Except for the Alzheimer's patients. Now,
you got it. You got that one.
So we've got this point in time now, and I consider you much of an authority on this, about this constant saturation agenda, so that we cannot even sit in our home, let alone walk out the door, without being bombarded by various soft kill weapons. That seems to be the reality for me. And I was talking about this with my friend last night and freaking out. It's just like, they're trying to kill us, bro. They really are trying to kill us. And people are worried about paying their mortgage and doing their job and getting their promotions and stuff like that. Dude, you're going to be dead. You can't spend money when you're dead. What are you doing? Why are people trying to live a normal life when they know about these things? I don't understand it.
I think it's impossible to overestimate when you try to understand that, which, of course, I think about in the same rabid terms that you do a lot. I think it's impossible to overestimate the impact of fluoride. Fluoride does, as you know, several things, none of which is protect teeth or bones. One of the things it does is, and some people know about this, but a lot don't, is it actually causes the pineal gland to calcify. When you calcify the pineal gland, you stop the ability of people to access wider information flows, whether you call it spiritual or sacred or God or intuition, call it a blind monkey with purple fur. I don't care what you call it. But the reality is that is how we keep our compass about what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what is a lie. And so it becomes important not only to keep people apathetic, but to keep people absolutely unable to read that moral and reality compass. And that's what fluoride does when it calcifies the pineal gland. It also prevents the pineal gland from producing melatonin, which is not only a sleep hormone, but it's also an anti-cancer and immune-regulating hormone. So the increase in cancer that we're seeing is in part due to the fluoride's indirect effect as well as the fluoride's direct effect. It also makes people, of course, infertile, and best of all, yes, stupid. It lowers their IQs, according to none other than Harvard University. So even the very smart recognize the one of the sources of stupidity, which is fluoride. It makes us apathetic, and it makes us infertile, and it gives us cancer, and it also, ta-da, breaks our bones, causes our teeth to become actually decayed sooner and faster, and makes us dumb, so we can't even think about what's happened to us.
Oh,
yes.
You get so, you become so dumb that you don't have any inkling of how dumb you really are.
Yes, which means you're, you know, sort of a perfect slave for the globalists to control and to eliminate. And you will remember that it's been said many times by many people that the best slave is one who believes he is free.
I also had this concept. I was having dreams last night and earlier this morning, you know, in and out of sleep, about morals, about honor, about integrity. These
things
that seem to be.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. That makes you an enemy of the state. You might start thinking about. You might start talking about the Constitution. You might start thinking about human rights. You might start thinking about conspiracies. Woo-hoo-hoo! I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Yeah. And this is the thing that was coming at me. It's like I'm living in a world where these things that I hold dear, that I find incredibly valuable for my continued survival, just having people not hurt me and having me not hurt other people, having people not steal my stuff and vice versa. These are the things that are actually really important. These are the things that are actually of value. These are solid gold, and everything that they're selling us through the mainstream media and just basically, it destroys morality. It destroys honor. It replaces that gold with tungsten.
I absolutely agree with you. It replaces that gold with something far less valuable than tungsten. Perhaps it replaces that gold with the most offensive dross. I saw an article. I'm by training a child psychiatrist, and I'm very interested in how we teach our young and what we don't teach our young as we shape our society. A mother was absolutely outraged when her son was punished for showing heroism. Perhaps you read about this too. This was in the United States. A child, now this is a zero tolerance for violence school, and a child pulled a knife on another child and was attacking him and looked like he intended to stab him. A third child saw that this weaker, more vulnerable child was being attacked, and he leaped into the fray and disarmed the kid who had the knife, knocked him to the ground, and knocked the knife out of his hand. The adults in the school, including the principal, chastised the child and punished him for not doing the correct thing. What was the correct thing? Think hard. See if you can think of a correct thing to do when another kid is being menaced and somebody decides to defend the kid who's being menaced by knocking the knife out of the hand of the attacker. The correct thing was to leave the scene and to go get a teacher. Meanwhile, the jugular of the kid under attack could have been sliced. Who knows? But the kid who showed a real interest in the well-being of someone else was punished, spent the day in the principal's office, and was threatened with expulsion because he actually came to somebody else's aid. Now, blow that up into a social situation where somebody might see something happening to somebody and act on the behalf of the weaker person, and you have something that the globalists wouldn't like.
I could just imagine a big billboard on the side of the highway. See something, don't say anything, don't do anything.
See something, just tell us. Don't do anything. Don't defend yourself. Don't defend someone who's weaker. Don't stand up for the rights of all of us. No, 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 no. Rat. on somebody, and you'll get a medal.
It seems that we're now glorifying the worst of us, and we're demonizing the best of us.
Let me point out that George Orwell, when he wrote 1984, so long ago, was writing, according to him, if you read his other writings, his letters and his essays, he was writing a manual of how he thought things should be. The level of total oppression, the level of complete suppression and deceit and total control of mind, emotion, and behavior for the vast majority of humanity was what Orwell thought was an appropriate use of human capacity, not an inappropriate use. He didn't write it as a cautionary tale. He wrote it as a handbook. And we are
saying...
Same with
Brave New World.
Yes. And we are collectively saying, okay, that's cool. What's on TV?
I fear that one day we'll just be, in fact, that day's already come, isn't it? Where you'll be sitting down, minding your own business, and the world goes to Shiite Muslim around you.
Well, what is your own business? That's a very interesting question. And I must break off our conversation to ask General Burt, the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation, to turn on the radiator because I'm in Santiago where winter is coming on and it's cold here, not in the Northern Hemisphere where spring and summer are coming on. So anyway, what is your own business? Is your own business nothing that doesn't concern you inside your skin, or is your own business what's happening to your society, what's happening to our children, what's happening to the people who are being vaccinated with Gardasil, even if you yourself are not being vaccinated with Gardasil? And I've put a link on called Gardasil Story. I have a radio show every Sunday, just like you have a radio show. Mine is called the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, and it's available at www.healthfreedomportal.org. And it's on live from 10 a.m. to noon on Sundays, Eastern Time. And, of course, we have an archive. The archive is free, because we think this information is so vital. Now, last Sunday, we had a young woman and her mother, Brittany Feist is the young woman, who at the age of 21, 7 years ago, was told by her doctor, her pediatrician, that if she didn't get the Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, and I will remind your listeners that HPV has never been shown to cause cancer, ever. She was told that if she didn't get it, she would run the risk of contracting cervical cancer from touching somebody who was sweaty, from shaking somebody's hand, or, are you ready for this one? From a lab experiment gone awry. And I said on the radio show, what kind of lab experiment? They soak a tampon in mutated carcinogenic virus and then insert it? What kind of lab experiment are we talking about? This is complete insanity. And the girl actually had some immune compromise, so she should never have had that or any other vaccine, but it's true of us all. No one should ever have any vaccine. And her mom wasn't there and wouldn't have mattered anyway because she was over the age of consent. And she said, well, okay, I guess. And the next day began 7 years of utter hell for this young woman whose entire body has collapsed. Now, she's a very brave and determined young woman, and she speaks out against Gardasil for us all. But the fact is that this was not a surprise to the vaccine manufacturers anyway, any more than leukemia virus in the polio vaccines are a surprise to them, or the fact that human fetal cells will cause brain swelling and deterioration of the entire system is a surprise to them. They know this stuff, and some of them don't care, and some of them have just decided that they're minding their own business. And that's why, that's the reasoning that gets me to ask, okay, you're sitting on the couch minding your own business. What is your business?
Well, I think that's a very poignant question. We're going to try and answer it after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Dr. Rima Labo is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. And my very special guest is Dr. Rima Labo, and we're having a very interesting and I think poignant conversation over the break about how many people are awake, how many people are asleep, how many people are aware, how many people are active. And what I see invariably is that the people who are unaware are becoming awake, and the people who are already awake are starting to become active. There are some, on the other hand, who have become awake, and instead of becoming active, they start to hold a pin on their fellow man, and they see all these people who are unaware as the enemy. You're a slave. You're scum. You know, you don't know 9/11 was an inside job. You don't know vaccines are bad for you. You're dead anyway. They become the very enemy that they think that they should be fighting against.
You know, that's so important, and this is a psychological principle that we tend to forget when we have facts and information that we think is important. For example, we all know, and then we forget about the fact, that people who are abused become abusers. People who are violated find ways to violate others. Now, there is, without doubt, a genocidal agenda. There are people who are quite crazy, who are psychopathic, who are, in my mind, people who have surrendered an essential part of their humanness, and that is the ability to have fellow feeling for other human beings, to affiliate with them, to have love. Those people are perfectly willing to disseminate and to institutionalize unbelievable violence, madness, and evil. Genocide. Call it anything you like, the bottom line is total lack of love and connection and complete willingness to destroy anybody that gets in your way because their skin is the wrong color or because their politics are wrong or because their religion is wrong or because their DNA is not your DNA or whatever. Now, the people who wake up from the dream that this couldn't happen and the delusion that it isn't happening, frequently wake up with enormous amounts of fear. Why not? Somebody wants to kill you. It's something to be afraid of. And they own the media, and they own the money, and they own the means. I mean, that's scary. They want to kill you. And so they get frightened. Now, Labo's first law of human psychodynamics, which I articulated many, many years ago, is... anger drives out fear, or at least it's intended to. So if you're frightened, you can confront what's frightening you and solve it, which is activism in this case, or you can become angry and you can start attacking. Well, it's very hard to attack the globalists. It's very hard unless you think about it and find strategic means to do so and turn that into tactics. It's very easy to attack the people around you. You're scum! You don't know! I didn't know until last week. Well, that doesn't matter. I know! And I'm attacking everybody because I'm so frightened. So instead of making myself audible, by doing that, I make myself inaudible. And I absolutely solidify, I glue down the inability of the person I'm talking to hear what's really going on, to see what's really going on, to comprehend and to defeat what's really going on. So that anger makes perfect sense. That attack makes perfect sense, and it's about as counterproductive as the lies of the other side. That's one point. The second point, Vinny, is that what is conceived in anger is birthed in anger and replicates the anger. I think the state of Israel is a perfect example of that. They were born, the state of Israel was born out of incredible oppression, incredible suffering. I'm Jewish, by the way. I was a Zionist in my youth. I wanted the state of Israel to have its existence because I thought that it was so important for people to have a safe place to live. Unfortunately, what the state of Israel has done is become a replicator of the fire and disaster in which it was born, externalizing and projecting it onto the Palestinians. Totally unnecessary, totally without any sound basis whatsoever, but it serves the globalist agenda, does it not? And they have become a globalist tool, have they not? And I'm not talking about the people of Israel. I'm talking about the policy makers of Israel, who are the same policy makers of every other globalist death-dealing organization in the world. So being born in blood makes it easy to act in blood and emotional violence. And so all of us, I believe, have a responsibility to confront that, to deal with our fear in a way that allows us to transcend the evil and the violence and to create natural solutions. Our foundation is called the Natural Solutions Foundation, and our middle name is Solutions. We're about solving the problems that have been created to make us ill, to make us weak, and to kill us. And oh, by the way, I would like to share the dirty little secret of the globalists. You up for that?
Always.
Okay, listen up. They are incredibly weak. They are powerless. We have the numbers and we have the power. The only way they can keep us powerless is by convincing us that we have no power. Let me give you a couple of examples of that kind of power that I personally have been involved in, and I'm sure you have many as well. First of all, I have to tell you that my life was ruined in terms of being a good globalist slave by being a member of the anti-war generation that took offense at the useless stupidity of the Vietnam War. And we were a bunch of ragtag, poorly organized, rather unsophisticated kids, and we stopped the war machine. We brought it to its knees, and we ended the war, the Vietnam War. And that was as big a shock to us as it was to the war machine, let me tell you, because we were just doing stuff. We didn't really quite know what we were doing. And that burned itself in on me as a lesson for the rest of my life. When the Natural Solutions Foundation learned on September 15th, 2009, the ancient history, right, with the internet, boy, that sounds like it's before electricity. 2009, Kathleen Sebelius, the head of the Health and Human Services Department of the U.S. government, that's the parent organization for the Fraud and Death Administration and the Center for Disease Creation and a whole bunch of other happy hooligans. When she went before Congress on that day and announced that there would be an H5N1 universal vaccination program starting, and this is a quote, with those who wanted it, starting with those who wanted it, and that the vaccine sites would be 90,000 school gyms and city halls and whatever, and that nurses and doctors and boot blacks and anybody else that you could find would be jabbing people, and they'd be mixing squalene, an incredible poison, into the vaccines in order to extend the amount of antibody. What that means is that the U.S. government, which holds two patents on the use of injected squalene at those doses for creating irreversible immune-mediated infertility, got that? Creating infertility through the vaccine, they would be jabbing everybody, creating the swine flu pandemic, as well as side effects and infertility, all at the same time. Such efficiency, hardly ever seen in government. So we found out about that, and we let our followers know. And within 11 days, 3.5 million emails had gone to the White House, Kathleen Sebelius, the head of the FDA, the head of the CDC, every senator and every representative in the United States government, every governor and every state legislator. 11 days, 3.5 million emails. At the end of which, Kathleen Sebelius said, okay, we won't. And there was no universal swine flu vaccine. Now, that meant there was no swine flu pandemic, because the swine flu occurred only where there was, in fact, a vaccination program. And we've published an article by a Professor Marconi, a professor emeritus of epidemiology at the University of Pennsylvania, who shows that the best way to predict epidemics and pandemics is to track where vaccine programs have taken place. Because where the vaccine is, there shall the epidemic be, to misquote Freud, a really sick dude. But moving right along, that's another show. The point is that every time we mount our power, the globalists step back, not once, not twice, but every single time. And the media, the lamestream media says, no, I didn't hear anything. Did you hear anything? I didn't hear anything. Mm-mm, didn't hear a thing. Nothing happened. Whoops. Europe rejects all GMO corn and Monsanto promises not to market it in Europe. Didn't hear a thing. China
refuses the import of 3 entire shiploads of GMO corn. Didn't hear nothing. Okay. Well, we still have another whole hour to talk about this. So with Dr. Rima Labo, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in during the break there, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.